Well, good afternoon. Is it on?
I don't guess it is.
How about now? It sounds good. All right. Well, good afternoon. My name's Bill Mansfield, and I'm a folklorist down here in Florida, and I'm here with Mr. Chasey Bass, and we're going to talk about bronc riding and rodeo competition. We couldn't get a real bronc up here, but we got a what do you call this thing?
It's a spur board. You can just kind of sit your saddle up there and practice on it, move your feet, get the feel of your saddle and stuff like that.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us about the event that you participate in? It's saddle bronc riding, right?
Yes, sir. It's known as the classical event of rodeo. I guess it originated from breaking horses back in the day. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say you said it was the classic, one of the classic rodeo events. Tell us quickly, what are the other rodeo events?
Well, you got bareback riding, bull riding, calf roping, team roping, steer wrestling, barrel racing, and I think breakaway roping.
Okay, well, you talked about bareback riding, but you do saddle bronc riding, so that might seem obvious to a lot of people. Why don't you tell us about the difference between the two?
Well, in saddle bronc, well, obviously you got a saddle and a rein to lift on. And in bareback, you just got a little suitcase handle you kind of slide your hand into. Try and ride the horse with that, I guess. I ain't ever rode a bareback, but it looks pretty aggravating.
Okay, well, why don't you show us, maybe you can set your training horse up here and show us what you have to do to qualify in saddle bronc riding. Does that sound like something to do?
All right, I can try that.
Okay.
Got you. Chaps here, kind
of
keep.
Let's get out in front of the horse so they can see what we're talking about. All right, now these are your chaps?
Yeah, wear these chaps so you don't rub your legs so raw on them swells in the saddle. Plus, it looks kind of nice, I guess.
It does add to the effect. Makes you look like a cowboy for sure.
You want them pretty tight on your leg. That way, you don't get too much slack in them.
And you just strap them on every time before the contest?
Every time.
Well, now, these are awfully, they're kind of decorated. Is that necessary or is that just for show?
No, I got some in my bag that are just plain brown. So if the arena's pretty messy or something, I ain't got to mess up these good ones. They don't look good, but they're kind of good.
Well, now, does your appearance, does that make much difference to the judges when you're in a contest?
I don't think it does, but they probably want you to look kind of clean.
At least when you start. Okay, so you put the chaps on. And here, show folks your spurs.
Got you. Spurs here. Hold on to the horse with. When the horse leaves the chute, you got to have them spurs over the brakes of the shoulders.
Well, first of all, the spurs aren't just for show. You actually use them to do what?
Spur the horse, I guess. Kind of hold on with them.
So you goad the horse, and that gets more enthusiastic response?
Yes, sir. It should buck a little harder.
Okay, well, why don't you mount up on your steed here and show us the techniques of saddle bronc. How much do you have to feed this one?
You don't take too much feed from this one.
Okay.
Most people don't ride with these.
What?
A lot of people don't use these, but I use it in case I'm in the chute or something, getting on, he can mash me. Won't break my back so bad.
Well, now, exactly what is that?
It's a vest. It won't hold a bullet, but it'll hold a hoof from breaking something.
So it's really a piece of protective gear.
Yes, sir. Just kind of like the chaps.
Okay, now you're mounted on the saddle here. What's this thing?
It's your bronc rein. You got to lift on this pretty much the whole ride. Before you get on the horse, though, you'd normally measure your rein kind of a long story there, but you don't just normally grab it wherever on a horse. But.
Well, when you say measure your rein, how do you can you sort of explain?
See, normally you'd kind of have somebody hold his head and you'd pull it back like this, and you take your rein about right there, and you take it. When that horse starts bogging his head and bucking, your hand will end up about right here, so it ends up pretty good. That's on most horses. Some take a little more.
Okay, now, when you saddle up the bronc in the chutes?
Yes, sir, you normally saddle them in the chute. Well, you got a little bit of an advantage on them.
Well, now, are they putting up any kind of a struggle when you put the saddle on their back?
Them young ones do. Most of the campaigner horses, they ain't too bad.
The what kind of horses?
They call them old campaign horses, just older horses, just nice bucking horses.
They've been around. Okay, so do you use your own saddle when you go to the rodeo, or does the rodeo supply them?
Oh, you got to bring your own saddle and rein. Sometimes they'll supply the halter, but most of the time you got to bring all your own stuff, chaps and boots and stuff like that.
Okay, so go ahead and mount up on your horse here. Easy, big fella. Okay, now you talked about having to spur the horse. Kind of, if you would, explain the way you what the judges look for and what you have to do when you're in the contest.
See, when you first come out of the chute, you got to have your spurs on the brakes of the horse's shoulder before he hits the ground, kind of about like that, and then he make another jump. Try and hold him about two jumps up there like that, and then he'll blow your feet back kind of like this, and you just keep doing it, jump for jump. You want to beat the horse to the ground, have your feet in the front of the shoulders before the horse hit the ground.
And now, why is that? Does that help control your ride on the horse, or does that make the horse buck harder, or just what's the reason for that?
Both reasons, really, kind of keep you in there. See, because if your feet are here when that horse hits the ground, and he kicks, he's already got an advantage on you because you're right like this. And when he kicks, you're just going to go right on over like that. Just get yard darted.
Okay, so you're on this horse and it's trying to throw you off. What do you do to, what's your technique for staying on?
Just kind of throw your shoulders back, get them kind of behind your hips and reach, jump for jump, and lift on your rein real good.
Well, you say reach. What do you mean by that?
When I say reach, I mean reach with your feet real high, kind of like that. Just hard. Set your feet real hard. Get them in there, toes out.
Okay, and you talk about lifting up. Now, that's something that I didn't understand the first time you told me about it. So explain it to these folks.
Well, when I say lift, I just mean lift on your rein. Because, see, if you pull on it, you'll just go right over his head.
If you pull back on it, it'll just kind of catapult you over the horse, so you just...
Instead, you lift on it, and when you lift, it'll push you down in that saddle. But when you pull, it'll just pick you right on up. So,
okay, well, how do you get, do you get a tune to the rhythm of the horse as it's jumping around?
Yes, sir. Normally, you can kind of get in time with them. Normally, the ones that kind of hang in the air a little bit, pretty easy to ride.
Well, is there just sort of one standard routine that the horse does when it bucks, or are there varying horses that have different rhythms, different gaits? I don't know how to term it.
Well, every horse bucks a little bit different. Some go out there and sling their head and spin, but normally you want one just kind of go straight down the arena, jump, kick, hang in the air a little bit.
Well, so you talk about horse, what spins, it just goes around in a circle trying to jumping and throwing you off?
Yes, sir. About like a bull, they'll go out there and spin around. You don't really want one of them. Can't pick up no money.
Well, is there a different technique you use for a spinner as opposed to a bucker?
I guess you got to bring in them bull riding moves in.
All right. Well, now, so tell us about the bull riding moves.
I don't know too much about that. I'm more of just saddle bronc, but I guess just try and ride him just like you would any other one.
Okay. So, when I talked to you a while back, you told me how you learned to do the saddle bronc riding. So you want to talk to the folks about that? I think, you went to a school or something?
Yes, sir. I went out to Oklahoma Goodwill, Oklahoma. They had Etbeyer Brothers. They had a bronc riding school out there. About 4 days, we bucked about three or 400 head of horses, about 30 kids. But other than that, I mean, you just kind of got to get on a bunch of horses for a while, and the rhythm and time and all that had to come to you, moving your feet and all that kind of stuff.
Well, what did the Etmeyer brothers tell you about the techniques? I mean, what can you give us a crash course in bronc riding here?
Mainly just really lift on that rein and set your feet. As long as you're doing them two major things right there, you're most likely going to ride one, because pretty two big pointers right there.
Well, now, how long do you have to stay on the horse when it's bucking in competition?
8 seconds normally. You're on there for about 20, though.
8 seconds doesn't seem like a long time just standing around. I bet it stretches out when you're on the back of a horse.
It gets a little tiring on there.
It's a long 8 seconds. But I remember you told me that there's more to it than just staying on the back of the horse. It's the judges look at something in your form. What can you tell me about that?
Well, now you take a rider that goes out there and kind of flops around, and he's got his arms spinning, and he's spurring, but he just ain't really getting all the way to the shoulders. And then you take another kid that rides right after him, and he's getting way up in the neck. His upper body looks nice and fine, and his free arm's not flinging all around. He's probably going to get a better score if his horse is bucking better.
Okay, well, why don't you give us a demonstration of a formless bronc rider? That'll help people understand what you're talking about a little bit. I know you don't often, you usually do well, but just sort of reach inside yourself and try and do bad.
All right, I guess I can try.
All right. So this is going to be a bad bronc rider.
All right. Say when he came out of the chute or something, say the boy just didn't even mark him out. Horse came out, boy never even reached up there. Horse goes to buck and he's flopping back and forth like this, trying to get in time. He can't get in time. Just bad all the way.
Okay, now show us the good bronc rider.
Well, I'll try. Right. Normally, you'd kind of stay back about like this, lifting on your rein, and then he'd hit the ground. And just keep doing that. 8 seconds, about 14 or 15 jumps.
Well, now it sounds to me like you're hitting this thing pretty hard. Do you hit the horse that hard with your spurs?
Yes, sir. You want to stick them pretty hard, getting spurs in them. Because if you just kind of shoe shine them, which just barely stick it in them, you're just going to blow your feet back. And most likely just come right out of there.
And it won't be as an enthusiastic a ride?
It probably won't be too fun getting stood on your head.
Well, now, when you go out to do the riding in competition, there are judges that rate you on your form and of course, whether or not you stay on the horse. But you told me something about how they look at the horse, too. Tell us about that.
See, you can earn up to 100 points on a ride. 50 points is the horse and 50 is the rider. Most of the time, them judges are looking for that horse to really jump and kick real hard out the back, just be a real good bucking bronc. The horse tries you, the more points he's going to get.
So you want to get a horse that's going to put up a good fight?
Yes, sir. You want one that's going to try you pretty bad.
And now, how did you get started in this altogether? I mean, you said you went to school, but did you get started riding broncs before then?
Well, I was going to work one morning, me and my dad, and he just asked me if I wanted to try it one day, so I decided, yeah, I'll try it. And about a week later, I went and got on one. I kind of liked it, so I just started doing it, started getting on some horses. Got on about 50 or so and went out to that Oklahoma rodeo school out there and been doing it since then.
And for those of you who don't know, Chasey's dad is Keith Bass, who's a foreman. What ranch is he foreman on?
Bar Crescent S.
So you come from a line of cow hunters and cattlemen.
Yes, sir. I'm about the fifth generation, I think.
So you can't help but do this.
I guess.
Okay, now tell us about the high school rodeo team. I mean, most folks know about basketball, football, baseball, and soccer and volleyball, but the idea of having a rodeo competition in high school might come as a surprise to a lot of people. So tell me about your experience with that.
Well, it's just like any other sport. You go to another town and play against a bunch of kids. You know, you're wanting to do the best you can, but only there ain't as much credit going towards your school. You know, it's just mainly you getting the credit. You have a state finals at the end of the year, and top 15 in each event go out to a national finals and try and win it there.
Well, but don't you like get a, didn't you tell me you got a letter in rodeo?
Yes, sir, you get a letter for your letterman jacket and all that, but I guess, yeah, it's about like any other sport.
I don't know. I don't think riding a Brunken Bronco is about like shooting hoops and basketball. They didn't have one where I went to high school, that's for sure. Now, what was it you told me about? I think this is so cool, about getting an athletic scholarship. Once again, that's something folks don't know about, so share that with us.
Yes, sir. You can get a scholarship going out to colleges on most of them rodeo schools out west, and I think there's one in Alabama. But, yeah, you can get scholarships for rodeo and just like any playing basketball or baseball or whatever.
Well, I think that is kind of surprising that you can ride on your high school's rodeo team and then go ride on your colleges, take rodeo into a collegiate level. Now, do you have any aspirations to go professional?
Maybe. I want to play it by ear after college, see what kind of job I can get. Get a good-paying job, may not.
Well, now, a lot of times, you know, you wear a protective vest there, and I've seen some rodeo contestants that wear a helmet. Do you ever wear a helmet when you're...
No, sir, I've never worn one. I've seen a few bronc riders that wear them, but I don't really plan on getting kicked in the head. I didn't want to get down there on the ground with them.
Well, I suspect most folks don't plan on getting kicked in the head, but sometimes it happens. Now, but have you ever been injured in the rodeo?
Yes, sir. My freshman year there at state finals, I think the second day, the horse kind of ran to the other end and whirled around on me. And he was blind in one eye, so he couldn't really see me, but he was just sitting there stepping on me the whole time, but he couldn't see I was there because most of the time a horse would try and get away from him, from you.
So like he threw you off and he was stepping on you?
Yes, sir.
I think he'd been stepping on me, I'd have been hollering so he would have heard me rather than just have the opportunity to see me. But you said something about like there's a rhythm to the spurring the horse. Explain that. That's something that was new to me.
See, when that horse jumps in the air, he'll blow your feet kind of back. They'd be up there when he hit the ground. And once he hits the ground, he kind of balls up in a little motion and kind of jumps. But when he jumps forward, he just kind of jumps through your feet, kind of like make your feet come back. And you just got to do it all over again. It's jump by jump, lift, throw your shoulders back and reach with your feet. Jump after jump.
Well, now, can you use your skills in saddle bronc riding for breaking regular horses?
Most of the time, I guess. I mean, I do that on the side some. It works out pretty good, I guess.
Well, explain to people what's involved in breaking horses. Again, that's something a lot of people don't know about.
Well, saddle bronc pretty much originated from breaking horses back in the day. And it's what it came about. A bunch of guys would get together with some horses and get them in a pen and start breaking them, and they eventually just kind of started making it into a little event, making money for who would ride one the longest or whatever.
So, there isn't much difference in breaking a horse for saddle and saddle bronc riding?
About the only difference is you got a saddle horn you can hold on to right here when you're breaking colts, and it ain't where you can't have both hands on. See, in the rodeo, you can only use one hand. Uh-huh. Breaking a colt, if you get in a bad way, you can just reach down and put both hands on the rein.
What is it you told me, something the judges Is that why they hold one hand in the air so they can see that you don't touch the horse?
Yes, sir, and I guess also for balance a little bit. Not a whole lot, but it'll help you a little bit, I guess.
Well, how many times have you gone flying off the back of a horse?
Oh, I couldn't even count that high.
Well, but do you land? You know, one of the things you see in the rodeo is they've got, I guess they call them pickup men. Explain that to folks.
Well, most of the time you got two or three men running around on horses waiting for the rider to make his qualified ride. After the 8-second whistle, they'll normally run into you. Not run into you, but run up beside you, and they'll scoop you up off your horse. That way you ain't got to jump off. Like on bulls and stuff.
Well, now, when you get thrown off a horse, is there something you use to sort of land in a safe way, or you just come down however gravity brings you?
I guess you come down how gravity wants you to come.
Well, I remember you told me once about this man who just sort of shunned the pickups, and he would always jump off the horse and land on his feet. What was his name?
Monty Hawkeye Henson, they called him. Yeah, after his rides, he'd just kind of push away from the saddle and jump off, land on his feet.
That's got to have been spectacular to see.
It's pretty good watching on the TV, but I don't believe I'd try it.
Well, I think it's better to be safe than showy in that spin. Well, our time's running short here. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask Chasey about saddle bronc riding and high school rodeo competition? Well, we have a question here in the back. Yes, sir.
You still didn't quite explain how you break a horse. I mean, what's the process of breaking a horse?
Okay, the question was, what is the process of breaking a horse? And JC, do you feel comfortable trying to answer that question?
I hate to answer that question, and you go home and try to break one, and then him just buck you off and break your arm or something, but I guess just try and get him gentle as you can where you can kind of turn him and stop, make sure he's got brakes, and break him off in a lope, stuff like that. I mean, just get the buck out of him, really.
Well, do you kind of work with him, get him used to you, before you put the saddle on him and lead him around and get him used to being with people?
Yes, sir, most of the time you will. Just kind of fool with him a little bit and ease your saddle on him and kind of lunge him around the arena a little bit and see what they're going to do. And normally you can snub one up to another guy that'd be in there. Have him on a horse that's already broke. You can kind of snub them up together, and if that other one does get to bucking with you, he can just turn his horse away, and he got you right there on the rope, so won't get in a bad way.
Does that get your question right? Yes, sir, we have another question here.
What would be about the average age of somebody that does competitively bronc ride? About how long can they keep it up before they pass their prime?
Okay, so, the question is, what are the average age of competitive bronc riding? And I guess you mean from, like, high school on up to professional? Okay.
Well, I think I started when I was about 14. And there's guys, Billy Etbeyer, he's in the PRCA. He's 43, 44 years old, and he's still winning plenty of money doing it.
You said PRCA. Tell us what that stands for.
Oh, if you wouldn't, man.
If I hadn't asked you, you could have told me. Well, we can sound it out. Let's PC, Professional Cowboy.
I think it's Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association.
Okay, Professional Cowboy Rodeo Association. No?
Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association.
Okay, well, I'm sure we can check that on our websites. But rodeo is an exciting sport that takes ranching skills and puts it into a competitive context. And if you've never been to one, you owe it to yourself to go check one out. Any comments here before we close out?
I guess try it if you want to. Just don't get hurt and blame it on me.
Well, I think I'm a little bit too brittle for that. But let's give Chasey Bass here a big round of applause for telling us about bronco riding. Thanks a lot, Chasey.
Yeah.